third chapter. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. This is the word of God.
Let's just take a moment to pray together, if you will. So, Lord, we're just asking today that you fill us now with your Holy Spirit, that you enliven us to your word, that you open up our minds to what you've given us to say today, what you've given me to say today. These words that you've given me, O Lord, I pray that they will land where you need them to land and do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. So some of you might know about a year ago, my family gave me an awesome birthday present. They set it up so the whole family, my kids and my wife and I, could go to Disneyland for 2 days. And one night we spent at the Grand Californian. And that meant that the next morning, you know, you get to go into the park early. So I was just so jazzed, you know. This was like fantastic. My whole family, Disneyland, you know. And we took advantage of everything that the Magic Kingdom had to offer, of course. But about mid-morning on that second day, my son and I decided to go on California Screamin'. Now, those of you who don't know what that is, that's the big roller coaster there. At least it's big to me because I really don't like roller coasters. Not really a big fan. But this one I like because it goes really fast. It's over fast. And it also has this moment where you're turned upside down. You go in this loop around Mickey's head. You know, this big, giant Mickey's head. So, I mean, come on. This is something you have to do, right? So my son and I get in, you know, get in the cars, and they strap you in. They really, like bind you in, right? And they count down 3, 2, 1, and it takes off, and it goes from 0 to 55 miles an hour in 4 seconds. So you're really cruising, and it takes you up, and you're going the twists and the turns and up about 108 feet, and then you take a big drop down from that, and then finally we're coming around to the final ascent, the big moment where we're going to go up the hill and then go around this loop around Mickey's head. And we start coming up, and we're coming up, and we're coming up, and the thing is getting to the top, and then it stops. Oh, yeah. We're like, okay, you know, I feel the brakes on the thing lock up, and we're sitting like this, you know. And it's at that point that I start to really notice, you know, a few things. Number one, we're really high up, you know. And like, I'm sitting here, and I'm like, you know, down below, I can kind of see my wife and my daughter, they're shielding their eyes like this, and then they're kind of moving their arms kind of frantically, and then they start running around, you know. And I see that I can see the whole Santa Ana mountain range, you know, and if I look back here, I can kind of see Newport Beach, you know, and I can also see how steep it is behind me. And that's when I start thinking things like this. What if whatever's holding us back stops doing that? And we go uncontrollably backwards down that steep, steep incline, you know, that hill? Or what if now is the moment for the big one? What if now the earthquake comes, right? You know what's got to come. Somebody has to be on California screaming when it does. Is it now? These are the things that go through my mind. But mostly I'm thinking, we are stuck. We're stuck between what we were just doing and where we know we want to go. We're stuck. And we're kind of helpless. And nothing's going to change unless I get some assistance. Unless I get some help. Well, you don't have to be stuck, I think, on a roller coaster to have had that feeling, especially in life as we move through our lives, where we get in those positions, we get in those places in our lives. And maybe we know exactly how we got there, or maybe we're not quite sure. And maybe we know exactly where we want to be, or maybe it's a little fuzzy. But we know at that moment, we're sitting there and we're going, I'm not prepared for whatever is next. And I'm going to need some help. Well, the good news is, God has an answer for that question. That question that says, am I prepared? Can I do this? Am I really able? God has an answer to all three of those questions, and it comes in four little words that Moses heard in our passage today, and that allowed him, when he took them seriously and trusted in those words, he was able to change the world. When he was standing at this edge of a big what's next. The story comes to us. We see Moses, he's out in the desert. He's in a wilderness, it says. And he's herding a bunch of sheep, which may seem a little surprising because this is Moses, right? This is awesome Moses, who we know brought the Ten Commandments down from Mount Sinai, who led the people for 40 years through the desert to get to the Promised Land, who parted the Red Sea. This is big man. This is big Moses. But the fact is, all that stuff that we really know about him has yet to come. He has yet to live that. At this point, he is nothing but a shepherd, and an old shepherd. He's about 80 years old. And he is wandering in this wilderness with all these filthy sheep that are not even his. And he's in a land where he doesn't belong. Well, even that may seem a little surprising because we know, if you know Moses' early life, he's one of the luckiest guys in the Bible. How could he get to such a gloomy present from such a lucky past? I mean, this is a guy who escaped being destroyed because of a decree put out by the Pharaoh that all babies of Hebrew slaves should be killed. And he was a baby of a Hebrew slave. His mother, of course, put him in a basket. And instead of going along with that law, he put him in a basket and put him down on the Nile River to float away, hoping that he would float to freedom. But even a better thing than that happened. The Pharaoh's daughter found that basket, fell in love with that child, Moses, and raised him up in the palace of the Pharaoh. So you have this crazy situation, this baby, this child of Hebrew slaves, growing up with all of the privileges that go along with living in the Pharaoh's palace. And he grows up knowing that he's a Hebrew, knowing that he's living in privilege, but seeing the abuse, seeing the suffering of his people. And one day he's about 40 years old, and he's seen enough. He's seen one slave driver abuse one too many Hebrew slaves, and he dashes out, he confronts this guy and kills him, takes him down into the sand, into a shallow grave, and just buries the guy. And the next day, Moses finds out that he was seen, so he runs away. And he goes to this land of Midian, where he kind of goes underground. He kind of gets anonymous. He marries, goes to work for his father-in-law, herding these sheep. Now, you might think that would be the end of his story. After all, you know, he's gone away from his people. He's far from the long arm of Pharaoh's law. He's 40 years there, just living a quiet life. But you know, you got to wonder how far he really had gotten from his past. Who agrees with me that it's sometimes hard to get away from your past? Yeah, it really is. And he's got quite a past. There's a thing called survivor's guilt. You've ever heard of that? Survivor's guilt. And you just got to wonder about that, right? Survivor's guilt is when someone feels really bad because they've come through a life or death situation and those around them didn't. It affects a lot of soldiers who come through a war yet see their buddies perish. Happens when people survive natural disasters but some of their family is lost. Happened to a lot of survivors of the Holocaust, those who came through those Nazi death camps, and they spent the rest of their lives with a burden of guilt. Why me? Why was I able to survive? And what does that mean for my life today? I just have to wonder if wandering those hills, if Moses doesn't have that burden upon him on this day, as he walks, wondering, why was I spared? When all of those others were slaughtered, why was I blessed to live in the home of the slaughterer? What is that about? And why am I here? And where am I going? Why was I spared? What is my purpose? Well, that's the Moses who's walking around this wilderness, this trackless waste, where there are no landmarks, there's no water. It's a dangerous place to be. It's a man who's alien from himself, estranged from his people. And it's that Moses in this wilderness that sees that burning bush, hears a voice of God, and God calls to him, and he comes down to where that burning bush is, and he gets down on his knees, and he takes off his shoes, and he hears what God has planned for him. He hears why he is where he is that day. He hears what God wants him to do, and it's terrifying stuff. It's hard stuff to hear. God wants him to go back to Egypt, he says. Go back to where you're a wanted man. Go into the palace of the Pharaoh, the one under whose blessing you once lived, and demand that that Pharaoh own up to the suffering that he has caused. For all of those people who were not as lucky as Moses, all of the people who were abused, all of the people who died under that Pharaoh's hand, you, Pharaoh, Moses must say, let those people go. Let my people go. Let them be free. This is what God is asking Moses to do. And in that asking, God is asking a big thing of Moses, but giving him a big opportunity to redeem his past, to make good on some of those blessings that he was given, and to stand up and do God's will. Now, if Moses' life was that roller coaster ride I took, this is where it stops, right there at the apex. And he has a decision to make. He knows why he is where he is. He knows how he got there. He knows without a doubt what God is asking him to do. But now he has to make a choice. He has to decide, can he do it? And he says to God, who am I? Who am I to be able to do this? Am I prepared to do this? Can I do this? Am I able to do this? And God says to him the four-word answer that is the perfect answer when any of us think, that, am I prepared? Can I do this? Am I able? God says, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. And I'll bet you when Moses hears that, he says, no, okay, now look, God, maybe you didn't understand the question. The question is not, will you be with me, but am I prepared? I'll be with you. No, God, the question is, can I do it? Can I do it? Do I have it in me? I'll be with you. No, God, please, listen to me. I'm asking, am I able? Do I have the stuff? And God says, I'll be with you. And I don't know if it was the first time or the second time or the third time or the fourth time, but sooner or later, Moses got it through his head. The answer to am I able is God is with me. And that's the answer. And that was the answer for him. And hey, it's the answer for us today. Whatever we are facing, when we are on the edge of whatever that great what's next is. And we may not know why we got there. We may have all kinds of reasons and mistakes that have got us to where we are. We may be so confused about where we are in our lives that we are even losing a belief that God is good to us. We may be even losing faith that God even cares about us. We may be questioning where God wants us to go. We may be questioning, or we may know for sure. But whatever it is, if we are standing there at the edge of that wild, at the edge of what's next, and we're asking, am I prepared? Can I do it? Do I have it? The answer is, I'll be with you. I am with you. God calls himself, I am. Well, if I am is with me, then I am able. If I am is with me, I am able. I'm able. I'm able to go out and try to get that job one more time, even though I've been knocked down so many times. I'm so sick of being knocked down. I am able because God is with me. I'm able when it comes to make that choice. Should I put off my career a few years and even that income, you know, so that I can stay home with those young ones? Can I do that? Am I prepared for that? I am with you. So I am able. Am I able to start again to help raising those grandchildren? I've already raised kids. I got to raise those grandchildren now. Can I do it? Am I prepared? Am I able? Can I do it? I am with you. I am able. And that's what God wants us to know today and every day. Come on. God promises his help. The Lord is my strength and my shield, Psalm 28 says. The Lord is my strength and my shield. I trust in him and he helps me. I am is with me. I am able. You know, when I was up on that roller coaster, and I'm sitting there, you know, and I'm like this, and I'm trying to figure out what's going to happen next, I heard a voice. You know? It wasn't the voice of God, though. Don't get your hopes up. No, of course not. It was the cast members from the Magic Kingdom. And they were coming up that track. They're walking up. They're trooping up, you know. And I couldn't see them because you're strapped in, but I could hear them. And the way they were joking with each other and laughing together and talking to the people as they came up, it gave me so much confidence to know that they had done this 1,000 times. And that just by listening to them, just by trusting them, just by doing whatever they say, everything was going to be okay. And when they got up to us, you know, they didn't make us go backwards. They didn't even make us go forward because we wouldn't have had enough speed to get around Mickey's head, I'm sure. Instead, they released us. And they took us a different way. They took us to a stairway that I'd never noticed before. And we walked gently down till we were safe and sound and we could go on with our day. And isn't that what God wants for you and for me today? That wherever we are, at the edge of that wild, at the edge of what scares us, at the edge of what's next, that God wants us to follow him, to be led by him, to trust in him. With him, we can redeem any past. We can make good on the blessings that we have received. And we can be made strong and able to carry out his will in our lives. And that's a guarantee. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, We are just so grateful today for your word, and we're grateful today, O God, for your promises. We're grateful today, O God, that you are indeed with us. Bless us now as we move forward from this place to spread that news and to live out that news, O God, in everything that we do. And we ask this in your precious name. Amen. All right. Whew.